Who controls the past, controls the future. Who controls the present, controls the past.
The death of bin Laden marks the most significant achievement to date in our nation's effort to defeat al-Qaeda.
All you got to do is start looking around, start thinking for yourself, start investigating things, and you will see it all right there. So you have the power. Humanity has the power. We have the power. Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories.
As for me, give me liberty or give me death!
The answer to 1984 is 1776.
Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight. It's Monday, May 13th, 2013, and here are our top stories.
Tonight, Enemies List 2.0. Documents reveal that the IRS targeted groups that criticize the government. Plus, Googleberg. The global elite transforms itself for a technocratic revolution. And the Justice Department secretly obtains AP phone records. That's coming up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Well, there's a lot of breaking news on the IRS today, and we're going to have a special interview. Gigi Urnetta will be interviewing Mike Velarde, a criminal investigator, former criminal investigator with the IRS. But it's been said that the power to tax is the power to destroy. And we're seeing that power levied against groups that criticize the government. And a story today from InfoWars, it's a reprint from Washington Post, says the IRS targeted groups that criticize the government, reports the Inspector General. Political action type organizations involved in limiting, expanding government, educating on the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, social, economic reform movements were targeted. Issues criteria were also used, found the Inspector General. Scrutiny was given to references about government spending, government debt or taxes, education of the public via advocacy and lobbying to make America a better place to live, and statements in the case file that criticize how the country is being run. And under these criteria, more than 100 exempt organizations were identified, according to the Inspector General's office. Now, imagine that. People who advocate educating others about the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, or even worse, talking about making America a better place. Those are people that the state considers to be their enemies, most specifically the Obama administration. It's kind of like what Stalin said, or at least his assistant said, bring me the man and I'll find the crime. And that's what we have under the IRS tax codes. We've got a tax code that is so complex, as somebody else once said, if you have a complex enough law, it's the same as having no law at all. And essentially, that's what we have with the tax code. Even people who try to comply with it are in jeopardy. And let's go back and look at how this all started with a timeline. This all started, amazingly enough, back in January of 2010 with Citizens United. Now, that Supreme Court decision actually removed a lot of legal barriers for people, for groups that were participating in politics. But instead of actually reducing the scrutiny, it actually increased the scrutiny. The reason for that is because it was perceived by Obama and the Democrats that the groups that were organizing under Citizens United, under the new freedoms that were there, were going to be opposed to them. So we see that a lot of grassroots organizations that were kind of leaning Republican are targeted. And so just 2 months later, the IRS starts searching for the terms Tea Party and Patriot. And we see that in November 2010, Tea Party activists helped Republicans win control of the House. And the IRS steps up harassment. IRS commissioner and other officials were actually called before Congress five times between November 18th, 2011 and June 15th, 2012. And they lied every time about auditing these groups. Now, they knew they were being audited because they were not only were they being audited, but they were given extremely detailed questionnaires, asking them questions that organizations typically are not asked. So they knew something was up, and they contacted their representatives, and they, in turn, pulled IRS officials, as well as the commissioner, before congressional committees, and they lied five times in that period of time. And in 2011, they actually had Democrat Chuck Schumer, a group of senators, Republican senators, actually sent a letter in 2012 stating that they wanted to get some information from the IRS. They wanted the IRS to back off. And Chuck Schumer said at the time that that letter was an unsubtle threat, clearly designed to put a chilling effect on the IRS agency's enforcement. But it was the IRS that was threatening. It wasn't that the senators were threatening the IRS. The senators are basically telling the IRS not to make these people into a political enemies list. And yet you see Schumer saying that the IRS is being intimidated. The IRS is being threatened. The IRS is having a chilling effect put on him. But it was actually these organizations that were being threatened, that were being bullied and intimidated by the IRS. And then you see that in November 2012, a lot of Tea Party politicians lost their reelection. People who won their first term in 2010 lost. So it was actually effective. And during that time that the IRS was lying about whether there was any special scrutiny going on, it would have been to the detriment of Obama if this would have come out, that the IRS was actually targeting groups that might be opposed to him or groups that would be in support of limited government. And then finally, after the election, the commissioner, Shulman, steps down, and we have someone else there. And a few months later, he admits that they were doing what they denied they were doing all along. And so the question is, are they going to actually be called before the Congress? Is there going to be anyone who's going to be fired for this? The commissioner has already left his post. So perhaps, as we see with police brutality and with so many other areas where the government steps over the line, breaks the law, we don't see anybody being impeached. We don't see any bureaucrats being fired. We don't see anybody going to jail. That rarely happens anymore. But another question comes up, and that is, how were these organizations being damaged besides being intimidated? It turns out that data, information about them that the IRS had, was actually being leaked to their opponents. It says in article that we have here that there is little question that one or more employees at the IRS stole our confidential tax return and leaked it to our political enemies in violation of federal law. Now, this is the National Organization for Marriage. The president, Brian Brow, said in a prepared statement, "The only questions are who did it and whether there was any knowledge or coordination between people in the White House, the Obama reelection campaign, and the Human Rights Campaign. We and the American people deserve answers." So the question is, who did this? It's not a question of whether or not it was done, but it was a question of who did it and who knew about it, because it was definitely to the advantage of Obama. So this is essentially like what Nixon did. It's kind of a combination of his Watergate break-in, where they were looking for dirt and things that they could use politically in the campaign at the Watergate Hotel, as well as Nixon's enemies list that he had. And one of the things that he did to his enemies was to attack them with the IRS. If we look at the Detroit News article here, it says, this is enemies list 2.0. Yes, everyone is familiar with Nixon's enemies list. And it says here, for anyone over 50, this news couldn't help but stir memories of Richard Nixon's political enemies project, which, according to the staff's own memo, sought to, and this is a quote, maximize our incumbency in dealing with persons known to be active in their opposition to our administration. Stated a bit more bluntly, and this is still quoting, how can we use the available federal machinery to screw our political enemies? Well, the IRS was part of that machinery. And all we're hearing today from the IRS and from the administration is silly stuff like mistakes were made. Now, when you hear somebody say mistakes were made, you know that nobody is going to take any responsibility, and they're trying to dodge any responsibility for what's going on with that. But there's actually a long list. It's not just Richard Nixon who used the IRS to attack political enemies. There's a very long list. Newsmax has a article talking about that, and they say that even going back to FDR, which is right after the income tax was initiated, and before really it was even used to go after wages, Elliot Roosevelt, one of FDR's sons, wrote that other men's tax returns fascinated his father in the 1930s. So here you have a sitting president who has access to other people's private tax returns, and he gets a kick out of just going through them. But we know that he did even more than that. because in the 1930s, he actually went against a congressman who was a Republican congressman, Hamilton Fish, in his district of New York. And he had a particular dislike for this guy because not only was he a Republican, but he was also a Republican who was the congressman from FDR's district. So FDR had a particular dislike for him. And what he did was he made sure that the IRS punished him and went after him for $5,000 in back taxes. Now, that was a great deal of money back in the 1930s. And he was eventually exonerated. And he said that it cost the government many thousands of dollars as it attempted to make me pay money, which, if I had agreed, would have besmirched my reputation. And they essentially eventually lost and even had to give a tax return to Fish of $80. We see this surfacing again pretty egregiously with John F. Kennedy. He used the IRS Commissioner Mortimer Kaplan to go after political enemies. He went after Richard Nixon, actually, and Richard Nixon's campaign manager, Robert Finch, were both audited in 1961. And a story is related that Stephen Shadegg, I guess that's S-H-A-D-E-G-G, who was a political advisor to Barry Goldwater, and I guess he could see Goldwater was an up-and-coming rival at the time, that fellow actually was being audited by the IRS, and his son says that his father's secretary was in a meeting, and when John Kennedy was assassinated and they brought the news in, the room fell silent, and after a long pause, without a word, the IRS agents began closing their notebooks, and the lead agent then said, "Well, I guess that ends this discussion, doesn't it?" And they left. In other words, they were there just to punish him politically, and they were using the IRS to do this. So we see that FDR, we see JFK, we see Richard Nixon famously using these the IRS to punish their political opponents. It's nothing new. It's a long-standing tradition of corruption. And it's easy to do because the IRS is one of these agencies that is, and actually it was really kind of a pioneering agency, doing what the TSA is doing today. And that is bluffing and intimidating the public, telling them that they have to surrender constitutional rights, that they have no business and no legal authority to tell you to surrender those rights. And we have allowed the IRS to do this for decades, for nearly 100 years now. And it has set up a pattern of abuse that we see being echoed in many other agencies because we didn't stop it with the IRS. And not only that, but when you look at the complexity of the tax code, we see that many other agencies, like the EPA, and we see this also happening with Obamacare. It is also happening with the Dodd-Frank banking bill that's coming up. In all of these cases, you have situations like Nancy Pelosi said with Obamacare, we have to pass the bill so we can find out what's in it. Well, actually, that wasn't as absurd a statement as it sounded like on the face of it, because Nancy Pelosi and other congressmen give broad sweeping powers to these agencies and then allow them to write their own rules and write their own laws. And that's where the devil is in those details. The Congress has abdicated its authority to write law to these bureaucracies. And what they do, like we're going to see possibly with this IRS case, if they do anything about it, Congress will probably come in and pass some little feel-good bill that really won't do anything. They come in like they're the cavalry to save the day, when in reality, if they had passed the laws and people were doing this sort of thing, they would basically take the responsibility for it. So not only do we see the IRS creating a complex tax code that allows them to easily punish anyone as a political enemy, but we also see the Congress allowing them to do that and only coming in when it's to their benefit to grandstand and talk about how wonderful it is that they're going to protect us from this. So we'll wait and see what will happen with that. But perhaps the best thing that could come out of this is if we look at Wall Street Journal talked about in 2009, right after Obama took office, he cracked a joke. And they wrote an article about that. It said tax audits are no laughing matter. And this is what Obama said. He said in a speech, "I learned never to pick another team over the Sun Devils in my NCAA brackets. President Michael Crow and the Board of Regents will soon learn all about being audited by the IRS." In other words, he did something that kind of backfired, and he was saying that these people at this university were going to get audited for complaining about it. And the Wall Street Journal says, "A president shouldn't even joke about abusing IRS power. When it comes instead to be seen as merely politics, as just politics, then the moral component of the system will be gone. For the system to work, people have to believe that it is fundamentally fair. So I can just hear Hillary Clinton saying, what difference does it make? Or Nancy Pelosi, when somebody asked her about the constitutionality of Obamacare, saying, are you serious? They really don't take the Constitution seriously, except to try to attack people who do take the Constitution seriously. Perhaps the best thing that could come out of this is not that we're going to see some IRS officials go to jail, but maybe the best thing that could come out of this is that people could basically wake up to this whole scam and really see what this whole tax code has evolved into and understand. Now, the Wall Street Journal wants people to believe that this is a fundamentally fair system, but perhaps the best thing that could come out of this is for Americans to understand that it is fundamentally unfair. It is a complex system that is used to entrap and punish anyone that the government chooses to go after. And it's fundamentally unconstitutional. We have a report coming up here from Millie Weaver, who talks about corruption in the Supreme Court.
I'm Millie Weaver with this InfoWars report. All too often, we find ourselves going about our daily routine when all of the sudden our lives are interrupted by some kind of government fine, fee, court appearance, or even threat of jail. Knowing our courts are typically corrupt, we're left hopeless and singled out to suffer unnecessary consequences. Are you tired of corrupt government officials and judges breaking the law and making you pay for their crimes? Ever wonder why judges seem to rule in the favor of private interests and profiteers? Well, it's because these judges are sponsored. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, just like in NASCAR, these judges are sponsored. And when you see the documented proof, things really start to add up. Do you want to know who's paying for your justice? Let's head down to the pits and see which judges are sponsored by private interests.
Here we are at the Forum 700, where judges are revving their engines and slamming their gavels. Let's find out who's running our courts.
These are the Forum 700 forms that are for the state of California. I took the liberty to contact the Fair Political Practices Commission. So we're going to go further and discover what's in here.
Let's take a look at our judges' sponsors. First, we go to Honorable John Vineyard, with sponsors such as Bank of America, Visa, Walt Disney Company, General Electric Company, Pepsi Inc., and Verizon Inc. Holy smokes, I never realized how much our judges are laced up by sponsors. Wow. Our next judge is Honorable Pamela Thatcher, who's sponsored by PepsiCo Inc. Beverages, General Electric Corp., Bear and Stearns Co., U.S. Bancorp, Bank of Hapoalim, Bank of America, and Goldman Sachs Group. Wow, if I was making money like that, I'd be out on my yacht hitting some beach sun and some waves, not on a bench dealing with traffic court. Something just doesn't seem to be adding up here, but let's go to our next judge. Our next judge is Honorable Judge Paulette Berkeley, who's sponsored by Amylin Pharmaceuticals, Boeing Company, Burlington North Santa Fe Railway, Canadian Pacific Railway, Cenovus Energy Corporation, Disney, Encana, General Electric, Headwaters, Intel, International Business Machines, Merrick Co., Mobile Mini, Oshkosh Truck, Peabody Energy, Sonosite, and Walmart. Having financial interests in large corporations does not necessarily mean corruption. There is nothing illegal about it. But ask yourself, if these judges have the private interests of corporations at heart, do you really think they have yours?
Would you like to see who your local government officials and judges are sponsored by? Well, here's how. All judges, government officials, and politicians are required by law to fill out a statement of economic interest.
local government, state government, and federal government.
Here are some benefits in obtaining a government official's Statement of Economic Interest form. You get to hold government officials to higher standards. You can investigate your local officials. You can report suspicious activity on their form. They wanted citizen spies? Well, let's give it to them. You can have government officials removed, fired, discharged, or retired if they lied on their form. You can stop any unjust action by filing a complaint against an official to your state ethics commission.
Contact your state ethics commission to find out more about which form correctly fits your state. I guarantee every single one of these forms is available to you. In California, this form is known as the Form 700. In Texas, this form is known as Form CIS. In other states, this form is just simply known as a Statement of Economic Interest. For California, call 1-866-275-3772. For Texas, call 1-800-TX-AUDIT. For all other states, simply contact your state ethics commission and visit their website. We, as citizens of the United States of America, are the regulatory agency that is responsible for regulating our courts and our government officials. When we neglect our duties as citizens, we start to get a government that feels exempt from the law. And then, if left untended for too long, government starts to break the laws that are in place to protect our rights.
Many people falsely believe that we have to wait for election time or that we have to rely on elected officials in Washington to get our remedy. This couldn't be farther from the truth. What they don't want you to know is that our remedies are one phone call and one complaint form away.
All you have to do is pick up a phone and call. Government agencies are standing by, all for the wonderful price of free. Exercise your rights today.
I'm hot on the trail for these corrupt judges, and for my next report, let's see if we can pin one of these corrupt judges down.
I'm Millie Weaver, signing off with InfoWars.com.
Well, it's not just Tea Party and Patriot groups that are being targeted by the IRS as a scandal. We just had today information that the Justice Department is coming after the Associated Press's phones. In this article here, Justice Department secretly obtained AP phone records. We learned that the Justice Department secretly obtained 2 months of telephone records of reporters and editors for the AP in what the News Cooperative's top executive called a, quote, massive and unprecedented intrusion, unquote, into how news organizations gather the news. The records obtained by the Justice Department listed incoming and outgoing calls and the duration of each call for the work and the personal phone number of individual reporters, general AP office numbers in New York, Washington, and Hartford, Connecticut, and the main number for AP reporters in the House of Representatives press gallery, according to attorneys for the AP. Well, maybe the AP needs to be reminded who the political boss is. But it's really shocking to see that not only we know that the government is tapping everybody's phones and recording all of our conversations digitally, but it's amazing to see how bold they are that they would actually come after the AP, which is not engaged in any criminal operation. It's merely reporting the news. So I believe that when you look at the fact that they're collecting everybody's phone calls and information as it is, when they go in and do this openly, it must be just open intimidation of that news organization. Now, on the Benghazi front, it looks like Republicans are starting to throw cold water on this scandal. We see in an article here on the Benghazi probe, GOP's Daryl Issa says Hillary Clinton is not a target. A top GOP critic pushed back Sunday on charges that Republican efforts to investigate last year's Benghazi attack are designed to inflict political damage on former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton is not a target, said House Oversight and Government Reform Committee Chairman Daryl Issa on NBC's Meet the Press, and President Obama is not a target. Well, the interesting thing about that is that we see that there was a criminal cover-up of information that was certainly more extensive than what Richard Nixon did, and there are questions that some people have that there was even criminal actions in committing and basically causing, ordering the military to stand down and directly causing the deaths of the people at the Benghazi compound. But we also see that former Defense Secretary Gates is also pushing back on this. And he's not necessarily Republican. He was both Bush's SecDef as well as Obama's. He says, some Benghazi critics have a cartoonish view of military capability. It's kind of amazing to think that that these Republicans are really pushing back on this thing right now. They're very content to use it for political gain, but they don't want to take it really any farther because they really don't want people asking why we were in Libya in the first place, why we were putting our terrorist, our main terrorist enemy, Al-Qaeda, why are we putting them in power? Why are we giving them arms? They really, I believe, don't want a full investigation of it. They just want to use it, unfortunately, for political power and to try to score some political points. Now, just like Daryl Gates is not necessarily a Republican, he's spanned many different administrations. And just like the bureaucrats in the IRS, they just stay forever. And even congressmen stay forever. There's no term limits on them. And so some people are saying, well, just like there's no term limits on the bureaucrats or on Congress, maybe we should remove the term limits from the president as well. Here's a special report from Gigi Urnetta about the 22nd Amendment and efforts to get rid of it.
Hi, I'm Gigi Urnetta with your InfoWars Nightly News Alert. Try again. You may have heard this before. It comes from an old legend of Robert the Bruce. He was a 14th century king of Scotland. He kept failing, but one day, after seven attempts, he actually beat the King of England to regain Scotland. Well, there's a possibility Representative Jose E. Serrano of New York came from the same school of thought. In January of this year, he proposed to get H.J. Res 15 past committee for the ninth time. He's reintroduced it every congressional session since 1997. None of these resolutions ever made it to a floor vote, but try again. H.J. Res 15 proposes repealing the 22nd Amendment to the Constitution, which sets term limits on the presidency. The last and only president to serve more than two terms was Franklin D. Roosevelt. In 1945, a few months after the inauguration for his fourth term of office, Roosevelt died, and in 1951, term limits on the presidency were preserved. Some, like Cokie Roberts, feel like we should get rid of the 22nd Amendment, and then we wouldn't have lame duck presidencies, like the one that we have now.
The power of the presidency, regardless of whom occupies the White House, is enormous. And this question is always asked. And the truth is, the president is a lame duck. The 22nd Amendment is a terrible idea.
How about a different approach? When you're done with your term, you leave. That's right, let's put term limits on House and Senate seats. And thank you to Representative Matt Salmon from Arizona for stepping up to the plate and getting things started. He recently introduced Joint Resolution 41 with five House sponsors to limit House members to three terms and senators to two terms. Look out, Representative Serrano. Your days may be numbered. Read more about this administration's attempt at an imperial presidency at Infowars.com. And check out PrisonPlanet.tv. You can give your username and password to up to 10 people. I'm Gigi Urnetta with an InfoWars Nightly News Alert.
Well, that brings us to our quote of the day. It's from Ayn Rand. It says, so you think that money is the root of all evil? Have you ever asked what the root of all money is? I guess maybe we know what the root of all fiat currency is. It's the Federal Reserve. I guess they're pretty evil. Now, we have a new transformative development in the Bilderberg Group, what Alex Jones calls Googleberg. In an article today, Googleberg, global elite transforms itself to a technocratic revolution. He says, authoritarian, anti-democratic power networks are being rebranded as trendy, philanthropic-style forums. Bilderberg is merging with Google under the stewardship of Google CEO Eric Schmidt, a regular Bilderberg attendee. Google's annual Zeitgeist Conference, which has been based at the Grove since 2007, is this year immediately preceding the Bilderberg Group Conference by a matter of days. Bilderberg is indeed being recast as Googleberg, partly because of efforts on behalf of activists to tear away the veil of Bilderberg's much-cherished secrecy and partly as a means of rebranding authoritarian, undemocratic secret gatherings of elites as trendy, liberal, feel-good, philanthropic-style forums like Google Zeitgeist and TED. Well, there's also a forum going on down in South Carolina at Kiowa Island. We have local news station down there reported that there's a lot of billionaires have flown into that area. And the mayor sounds very much like the mayor of a city where the Bilderberg meeting is being held in London. We've got all the usual suspects there, Bill Bloomberg, but Gates is right at the center of it. We also have Jeb Bush. We've got a lot of politicians meeting with billionaires, the same sort of thing that's happening at Bilderberg, where they're basically selling you out and putting themselves in position. And, of course, we also have security being provided by the local community at great expense. Security has been keeping the public away. And then we have a mayor who says, we wish them luck with what they're doing. They want to play golf. They couldn't have picked a better weekend. We're glad we could offer them great weather. Well, I don't think that they're all there for the weather or for the golf. I think this is probably some kind of a eugenics conference with Gates at the center of it. It's almost kind of like when you look at Bill Gates and his eugenicist focus. It's almost like the ultimate revenge of the nerds, in my opinion. But we also have a judicial elite. And this judicial elite, as we heard earlier, has some ethical issues. And today they sided 9-0, siding with Monsanto. The Supreme Court sides with Monsanto in a major patent case, reports USA Today. The court ruled unanimously that an Indiana farmer violated Monsanto's patent on genetically modified soybeans when he culled some from a grain elevator and used them to replant his own crop in future years. And so the question is, who does this help? Well, inventors and entrepreneurs, perhaps. It definitely hurts consumers who are going to be paying much higher prices. And there's a question as to what is going to be coming. There's still pending a decision on whether human genes can be patented. That's a very strange notion, but who knows? Anything can happen with the Supreme Court. Now, here for more information about Monsanto and the march on Monsanto is a special report from Leanne McAdoo.
I'm Leanne McAdoo, and this is an InfoWars nightly news alert. People around the globe will assemble in protest against Monsanto's genetic manipulation of the food supply in a massive movement known as the March Against Monsanto. People who are fed up with Monsanto's monopoly are hoping that this march will bring global awareness to the company's diabolical reach.
Corporations like Monsanto, their goal basically is to take over our food supply. Most people are not aware that their food is highly contaminated. They trust the FDA, thinking that the FDA is protecting them, when in fact the FDA has sold them up the river.
Leading consumer advocate Jeffrey Smith has researched in depth the effects of GMOs.
The glyphosate, or active ingredient in Roundup, is linked to essentially every major Western disease on the rise due to diet. So from cancer, obesity, diabetes, heart disease, anxiety, aggression, anorexia, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, autism, it's very, very dangerous. And it is unfortunately in high concentrations of these Roundup-ready crops, which is the vast majority of all GMOs that we eat.
Companies like Kashi, people think that Kashi has clean food. Kashi's GMO. A lot of their products have GMOs in them. And so we need to bring awareness to people on who to shop with, how to get clean food. If they can't afford to buy organic, they can work at farms and get their produce for free.
The founders of the grassroots group Food is Free Project are already working to teach local communities how to provide for themselves by coming together and growing their own food.
The Food is Free Project was kind of born out of the idea of planting a front yard garden. We realized by being out in our front yard, hands in the soil, we started to meet and engage with neighbors that were walking by with their dogs or whatnot. What if we lined a block in front yard gardens and got people, you know, connected?
We try to use as many salvage materials as possible. It just helps to, it just makes it a lot easier, you know. It doesn't have to be like a cost intensive sort of thing to get started gardening on your own. Chickens are great, so save money on eggs and go through your compost and like turn it for you. They'll go through a field, like any spot where you want to be planting, and just having chickens there for a little while makes it like the soil's like really happy with it. Now, aquaponics is, it's another really great way for people to grow their own food, be independent of the system, and like be like more self-sustaining. Mm-hmm. The really cool thing about this is that it's a soilless system, right? So this is just, it's expanded clay and pea gravel. You can grow vegetables and fruits. Down here we've got our fish. We've got goldfish. You could grow tilapia. We aren't eating these fish. We're just growing them for their nutrients. So it's fine to just have like a little goldfish. And you see here how it all pays off.
Yeah. Hmm. Coming together to grow a community garden is absolutely an effective way to flip the bird to companies like Monsanto. But in the meantime, grocery stores will still remain the main provider of our food. Even so, you can have control over what you're eating by phoning your state rep.
Well, we want everybody to contact them demanding the overturn of the Monsanto Protection Act and to put in place a bill that requires labeling for all GMO products. If we could get the GMO labeling in place, when people are shopping and they see this seal that says contains GMO ingredients, they're going to be, well, wait, what is this? What am I eating?
Simply typing in your 5-digit zip code at whoismyrepresentative.com will immediately give you the phone number and website of your state representative.
Now, we think that when about 5% of U.S. shoppers avoid brands that contain GM ingredients, that would be sufficient to create a tipping point of consumer rejection, turning GMOs into a marketing liability and forcing the companies to abandon GM ingredients.
Being at home behind a computer screen, reading about, you know, the things Monsanto's doing to our, you know, our, the state of affairs in our world can be very disheartening and very paralyzing. So when we go out in the street and we meet people, you know, and we talk to them about our gardens and the things that we're doing and the things that we can do together, I think that's one of the most empowering moments that we can share when it comes to our food system and food sovereignty.
The March Against Monsanto will happen around the world on May 25th. It's all being organized online via an open Google document where you can find the protest nearest you and be a part of it. There are still a lot of open slots for organizers and speakers, so if you feel like contributing to the event in that capacity, be sure to check it out. Now you can find the link to that Google document as well as more stories on this topic at InfoWars.com. I'm Leanne McAdoo, and this has been an InfoWars Nightly News Alert.
Well, stick around after the break. We're going to have Gigi Urneta interview Mike Velarde. He's a former criminal investigator with the IRS. With everything that's going on with the IRS, you'll want to hear what he has to say. And if you're watching this on YouTube, please consider getting a subscription to Prison Planet TV. It helps to cover our bandwidth, and you can share it with up to 10 people simultaneously can be watching our stream. Helps to get the word out, and it helps to pay for our bandwidth. We'll be right back after the break with that interview, so stay tuned.
Many anthropologists and archaeologists believe that before man even discovered the power to harness and use fire, we were involved in agrarian activities. That is, taking the seeds of plants and then replanting them to produce more. The very foundation of our modern civilization and human culture is centered around the planting and cultivation of edible plants, fruits, vegetables, nuts, you name it. And the globalists have been going after gardening. They've been harassing people that have gardens in their front yards or their backyards. They've called for licenses for people to have gardens because you can't trust prisoners in the police state America to be able to grow their own food. That's why I've come to the realization that we need to become self-sufficient. You need to be informed. You need to have the Second Amendment to protect yourself. You need to be politically active to wake up others. You need to filter your water. But you also need to plant a garden. Even if you live in an apartment, you can do this. If you live in the countryside, obviously you can do it on a grand scale. There are so many green belts in areas that humans don't even visit, nearby cities and in suburbs, where people are now more and more planting their own little private gardens and meadows and off the side of the road. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a revolutionary act to unplug from the television, to unplug from the computer and all the globalist propaganda, and to go out in your backyard or your front yard or planters at your apartment or on the roof of the building where you live, and to plant a garden.
Here are some of the amazing deals at InfoWars Seed Center at InfoWarsShop.com. The Survival Seed Vault by My Patriot Supply features only the finest survival heirloom seeds for a robust and hardy garden, even in the toughest of times. The ARC All-in-One Seed Kit contains 70 varieties of 50,000 seeds of fruits, vegetables, medicinal, and culinary herbs. All ARC seeds are heirloom. Each type is labeled and sealed separately for ease of use and longevity. The Deluxe Emergency Seed Bank combines three of Emergency Seed Bank's top sellers: the Family Survival Emergency Seed Bank, the Medicinal Herb Seeds Pack, and the Culinary Herb Seeds Pack. We also have starter varieties of the deluxe seed packages for fruit, salad, salsa, peppers, and medicinal herbs and more. Go to the InfoWars Seed Center at InfoWarsShop.com.
A little seed can grow a huge tree that produces fruit for up to 50 years. We have the best life bombs. That's what these are. We have the best weapons against death out there at the lowest prices, waiting for you to lovingly plant them and lovingly grow them and lovingly eat them and share them with others. We will strike back against the New World Order, and this is only one more initiative in our fight against them. So please join us at InfoWarsShop.com, or you can link through at InfoWars.com at the InfoWars Seed Center.
Coming to a mailbox near you, the IRS. I know you can't wait. Yes, Obamacare goes into play soon, so be prepared for the tax man to bring a bill. Yay. We're going to talk to Mike Velarde today. He worked for the IRS for 22 years as a criminal investigator. He's going to share with us what exactly is happening with Obamacare today. And, of course, we all pray that it will be repealed so that we can have a good health care plan put together. Mike, thank you so much for being here.
Hey, thank you for having me, Gigi. Appreciate it.
So we're talking about Obamacare and the IRS, and they're just not ready, are they?
No, they're not. They're not ready. Look, two things have happened. One is funding is dried up. So there is a hiring freeze now with the IRS. And in order to implement Obamacare, they're going to need some additional personnel. Because what's going to have to happen is this. They're going to have to send out letters to everybody that does not have health insurance starting in 2014. Now, that's going to be done via your computer. What they're going to do is they're going to require on your W-2s that it shows whether you are covered by health insurance or not. In other words, if your employer is providing health insurance for you or not. Now, if you don't have health insurance, you will get a letter generated by the computer stating that because the IRS has found that you don't have health insurance, you're going to be hit with a bill, and they're going to send you a tax bill. But you have 30 days to either get the health insurance or supply proof that you have some sort of other insurance that would be okay with them so that you wouldn't have to pay this Obamacare tax.
Okay. What about these Cadillac programs that they have, these people with excellent health care? How does that work with the IRS?
Well, what's going to happen is there's going to be a up to a 40% tax called the Cadillac tax for you to keep your existing health care. What Obamacare really seeks to do is put everybody under a government plan. And that government plan, of course, is going to be much worse than anything that you have now. So they're going to make you pay a fat premium for keeping your health insurance. So if your health insurance costs you $10,000, the IRS or the government's going to come in and charge you an extra $4,000 just to keep your $10,000 plan.
Wow. Well, we thought we had problems with our health insurance before, right?
Oh, yeah. This is the biggest nightmare.
Well, who's benefiting from this, Mike? Is it the IRS or the healthcare, you know, companies? Who's benefiting?
The government takes control. It gives the government more control. So if you're a proponent for bigger government, the people that run the government now have more power. They have now have power over your healthcare, where they didn't have that in the past. It also really makes government much bigger because it goes places it's never gone before. At a tremendous cost. So there's $1.7 trillion in new taxes that's wrapped up in Obamacare, which is going to devastate an already weak economy.
And they're going to be able to really keep track of people now. They're data mining. As I understand, the IRS is actually using data mining to keep track of everybody, whether it's travel or purchases. So pretty much they can hijack anything, it seems like, to get money out of you.
Yeah, I mean, the real issue with the IRS is they were given an extra $640 million in 2009. That money went to hire additional employees, so they grew the size of the IRS. Since then, Congress has not given them any additional appropriations. So they've actually had some buyouts to kind of get the IRS back to where it was, you know, back in 2009 before they expanded it. And because back in 2009, I think that the Democrats had control of everything, so they were able to appropriate that money. Now they don't, so there's no extra funding going towards the IRS.
Now, I hear there's also a sequester on the personnel sometime this summer.
Yes. Yeah, it appears to me that they're going to, my understanding is, get every other Friday off for at least 5 Fridays. So it looks, unless something has changed starting in June, that everybody's going to receive 5 unpaid days.
Well, that'll give them less time to hunt everybody down for insurance.
Yeah, well, the IRS, really, the manpower of the IRS, I mean, they've been kind of zapped because identity theft has been such a growing crime that they were forced to put a lot of personnel and time and effort into stopping it.
Can you elaborate more on the identity theft part of it?
Yeah, let me explain to you how these schemes work. When I was with them, for example, that's when I was first getting started, they were, you know, paying people to get Social Security numbers. And at the time, they were using Puerto Rican Social Security numbers, because if you're in Puerto Rico, you don't have to file taxes, because Puerto Rico is not a state. So because it doesn't have statehood, there's no law saying that you have to file a tax return. So they were taking these Puerto Rican Social Security numbers. They were doing false tax returns with them and generating large refund checks from the false return. How would that work? It's simply this. Let's say you work for the Ford Motor Company, okay? And you have their W-2, and you have all their, you know, corporate ID number and everything else. All you do is you change the information on it so it looks like some other person whose Social Security number that you stole also worked for Ford, and they had a large amount of withholding. So you'd say that they made $50,000, but they withheld $20,000 in federal taxes. And when you put in for a refund, you're going to ask for 10 of the $20,000 back. That's how it would work. And then the IRS would send you a $10,000 check. And what they were doing was they were sending these checks to the projects, and, you know, they had certain places they'd go to, and they'd get the checks, cash them, and billions of dollars literally walked out the door because of identity theft. Then after they burned through the Puerto Rican numbers, then they started using people on welfare, people who, you know, they were buying this information. I mean, if you go to your doctor, your family doctor, they're going to ask for your Social Security number. Well, if you get a person that's in that doctor's office that makes $10 an hour, we'll say, hey, listen, we'll give you $50 for every person's information you give us, okay? Yeah, all of a sudden you got a problem. So because the information has become so accessible, you know, they only need three things: your address, your date of birth, and your Social Security number. You create a false tax return.
Well, now with all the hacking, too, I'm sure that's probably doubled in as far as the problem.
Absolutely. It's become the largest growing crime in the country, and particularly it false returns with the Internal Revenue Service. So it's really caused a lot of problems, and they've been forced to put a lot of manpower and time and effort behind it to resolve it, because they really weren't paying attention to it when it first started happening, and it just mushroomed and grew. And so now they're in the position where they're forced to deal with it, because there's just so much money walking out the door. Because once they issue that check, you know, they're probably not going to see it again. And then the real person, you know, says, hey, you know, you owe me this money because I work for it. It was just out of my pay. And I have a legitimate refund coming to me. So they pay out the bad refund, then I got to pay out the good refund. And before you know it, it ends up being billions upon billions of dollars.
Now, you were a criminal investigator for the IRS for 22 years.
Yes.
And you're helping people with their problems now with your own company.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And I've had a lot of success because of my experience with the IRS. And if anybody out there is having an issue with either an overly aggressive revenue officer or an audit situation where they feel they're being unfairly treated, they could definitely call either call my toll-free number, which is 888-873-8825, or simply go to my website, which is Mike Villardia.com, and you can look at my testimonial letters, my history, my background, and if I can help you, please call me.
All right. Well, one more thing before we go. I was going to ask you about the enforcement. We're dealing with Obamacare. How is the IRS going to enforce people who don't have health care or maybe don't have the right health care to fit in their requirements?
Okay, what's going to happen is in the legislation that was passed, they wanted to make sure there's no interest and no penalty for this tax. Okay, so what they're going to do is it's going to be a tax that's going to sit on your record. And when you go to claim your refund, if you owe them the money, it'll come out of any refund that the IRS was going to originally pay you. That's how they're going to deal with it. There's not going to be any knocking on your door. At least there's not supposed to be.
Right. What about wage garnishment?
No, that's not supposed to happen either.
Well, I like how you said that. It's not supposed to happen.
Not supposed to. No, these cases, Obamacare cases, should not be going to ROs. They basically should just sit in the computer, and when they're paid, they're paid. And if the IRS owes you money at any time, they'll take it from that. That's my understanding of how it's supposed to work. Because if these things start going to enforcement, it's going to be such a nightmare. The government is just not going to be able to handle, because who are you taxing? You're taxing people that don't have enough money to have health insurance. You're taxing the poorest of the poor, in a sense. That's what you're doing. And they're the least likely to pay, the least able to pay. So the way they set it up is so that it'll sit on the computer, and then when you put in for a refund, you got to remember, a lot of these people put in for the earned income credit. So they file to get money. Well, when they go to file to get money in 2015, what they're going to find is the IRS is going to grab a chunk of that money because of the Obamacare tax.
Well, the natives will definitely not like that.
No, I don't think anyone's going to like it. I mean, I think that this is just bad law. Excuse me. And it makes me feel. But, I mean, people are going to really see how bad this is starting this year, but really next year, when they start getting those bills in the mail.
Well, Mike, one more time, I'd like to tell everybody, the phone number is 888-873-8825 if you want to give Mike a call. If you're having an IRS problem, I'm sure more people will be experiencing that here in the next year with all the new changes. Or maybe the Obamacare Affordable Health Care Act will be repealed. We never know.
That's true. Hopefully it will be.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. Be well.
If you want to know more about what really happens with our tax dollars, check out The American Dream and the Invisible Empire on our InfoWarsShop.com. Check it out today. It's interesting DVD material. It'll kind of explain to you a little bit more about the truth about where our money goes. And also, sign up for PrisonPlanet.tv. You can share it with up to 10 friends. Do it today and check out our DVDs. See you again tomorrow, Central Time, 7 p.m. Don't miss it. The InfoWars Nightly News. I'm Gigi Arnetta.